I'm going to share to you today some, Channel A had some real God moments on our break. And so much so, I thought I want to share with you a little bit out of this time that we just had away. And I would just say that we were able to rest, we're able to be refreshed. And to be honest with you, it has brought a whole new source of joy into our lives. And if you haven't had a vacation for a long time, can I just encourage you? You should have one. And I want to encourage you. I know some of you, I wished I had the money to go on a cruise. Well, so did we, trust me. And we didn't even want to go on it. We were getting on the ship going, well, I suppose we got to do it. In actual fact, we loved it. And I want to encourage you. Here's a thought. Come ye apart, or ye will come apart. And God instituted rest. On 6 days he worked, on the seventh day he rested. Please don't tell me you think you're better than God. Amen. And I just want to encourage you, if you had a break, doesn't have to cost money, but you can find a place and time to get away if you'll do it. Amen. Second thing I got from our trip is God is so creative and the world is so big. And I just couldn't get over these God moments where, to be honest with you, I was just looking forward to going on a break and getting refreshed. And little did I know how much God would refresh my soul. And I want you to look at Psalm 24, because after we left all of Europe and Dubai, we went down to New Zealand and spent some time with Paul and Marie de Jong. And then we went from there across to Australia, and we got on this train called the Ghan Train. And it goes from the very middle of Australia up through the middle of Australia, up to the from the south to the north. And it's a train that goes right into the outback. We got off in a place called Alice Springs. And in Alice Springs, there is a very famous rock called Ayers Rock. Otherwise, also now known more today, is Uluru, which is an Aboriginal indigenous name of the same rock. It's a very famous rock. It's supposed to be the largest rock in the world. And it is an amazing thing to see. I've never seen it. I've never been to Darwin. When we got to Darwin, I said to my wife, I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to lay out on the beach. And so my friend who was with us, Mike Murphy, said, I don't know if that's a good idea. Now, I've lived in America for 27 years, and I had an American moment because I'm wanting to go to the beach. And he goes, let me just see if it's safe to go to the beach. And he Googles, is it good to go to the beach in Darwin? And the response was, I do not recommend it, as there are saltwater crocodiles that come up regularly onto the beach, and they are predators, and they will eat humans, and they have eaten people. And I went, dear God, crocodiles coming up onto the beach. And then it said, now, if you go into the water, there is box jellyfish. I know what box jellyfish are. And if one of those tentacles gets you, you will die within 20 seconds. And I went, so if you don't get eaten by crocs on beach land, you're going to get eaten by crocs in the water, or a box jellyfish is going to sting you. Then they warn you there's some little sea, I don't know what it is. I want to call it sea lice. We've encountered this before, but this is all in one place. And they go, do not go into the water, because if you go in, it gets in your ear, your mouth, your nose. It'll go straight to your brain, and you will go insane. This is all in one place. In Darwin. Do not go to Darwin. Do not go near it. It is just awful. It's like the seven plagues of Egypt in Israel. It's unbelievable. But we were there and we flew out of there, and I was glad to fly out of there. Listen to what the Bible says. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. He has formed it and founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. I just want to tell you, you know, when the Bible says that God made the earth, did you know what it actually says? And I got to tell you, there were some real amazing God spiritual moments for me, is I realized the earth is the Lord's. He founded it. He formed it. He fashioned it. Amen? And I just think the Bible says that when he did it, it says, listen, he stooped low. It was almost something that was beneath him. But he had to make it in such a way that you and I could live in it and survive and exist, even with crocs and these awful little sea lice and box jellyfish. And I don't know what God was thinking. Maybe he was having a bad day and he just went, let's do this. Let's create a jellyfish that looks like a box, has tentacles that go, you know, 3 meters, 10 meters long that can just touch you and you will die. I don't know what he was thinking when he did it, but the earth is the Lord's. We went out to Ayers Rock, and look what the Bible says. This is the verse the Lord gave me. The heavens declare the glory of God. Skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Do you know creation is speaking to you if you'll listen to it? Amen. It says they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the world, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun, and like a bridegroom coming out from his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course, it rises in one end in the heavens and makes a circuit to the other end, and nothing is deprived of its warmth. Let me just show you a photo of Uluru here real quick. This is Ayers Rock. That's a photo I actually took with my camera, and that's what Ayers Rock looks like. How many think that's an pretty impressive piece of rock right there? Did you know the nearest city, mate, like big city, that you would want to live in, the nearest city is 1,000 miles away from that rock. The next nearest city, big city, is 1,400 miles away. And I remember just thinking, God, you put that there in the middle of nowhere, and very few people have or will ever see that rock, but you in your majesty, you in your splendor, you in your creativity just went, let's put a rock right in the middle of Australia. It reminded me of doing my motorcycle ride when I saw Monument Mountain in Utah, and I thought to myself, God, there's so much beauty in this world that you created. And I'm thinking, God, if there were major cities that you knew people would live in, you might make that a little extra more beautiful because people will see it. But very few people will ever see that for real. Yet God, in his amazing goodness, makes some of those beautiful things just because he can, because he's God. Did you know, put that rock back up. Did you know that rock above the surface, what we see there, is actually 4 miles deep below the ground? And I just want to say to somebody today, look at me now. Don't just see God in what's above the ground, but you need to see God below the ground. Maybe right now you're going, God, where are you? And it looks like there's not a whole lot happening. 4 miles deep. Let me show you another rock that is literally, let me see if I got this right, 21 miles away from that rock. Have a look at this. This is the Olgas. There's another rock. Did you know 21 miles away is that rock, and it's literally connected a part of Ayers Rock all below the surface? I got to tell you, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Come on, somebody say amen. Oh, man. Let me show you this next photo here. This is the guys and I when we were riding motorcycles across the states. I got to tell you, Tommy Altman, who was a tremendous friend of mine who worked in the Air Force and Special Forces, he and I both were sharing after we rode this ride how both of us were overwhelmed and came to tears at the majesty of God, the wonder of God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if God can leave that for very few people to ever see it, I want to tell you, his eyes are on the sparrow and his eyes are on you. And let me tell you, he is in control of your life. Come on, somebody give God some praise. For me, the greatest highlight was actually the stars in the outback. We stayed in one hotel, and I use that word very loosely. It was more like, you know, those motels where you drive up and you park your car. It was more like a Christian campsite. It was, and so, and we only went there for one reason, and that was to be there in the night where there is no light to see the stars. And you walk away from this room you're in over these sand dunes. You've got to look out for scorpions and snakes and the deadliest snakes in the world, and all that's real. And it was fun to be out there experiencing all those wonderful challenges and looking. And but I remember seeing this father talking to his son. And we're over the sand dune. There's no light. And I've never seen stars more brilliant and more majestic and more wonderful. And I was watching and I could see a satellite going across the sky. And I looked at another star and I said to Sharon, oh, that's not a star. That's too bright. That's got to be a satellite. And the dad looked at me, he goes, no, Steve. He didn't call me Steve. He got to know me. He called me Steve. He goes, that's, what did he say it was? That was Saturn. And I went, that's Saturn? That's a star? Not a star, it's a planet. And he goes, yeah. And then he pointed out all these things. And then Sharon and I did a stargazing tour at Ayers Rock. And she had this laser pointer. And for the first time in decades, I saw the Southern Cross. And she's explaining how people would navigate using the stars. And the, I got to tell you something. It was, now I want to give you a Bible verse. Because I remember sitting in Bible school, listening to a professor and explaining this verse. And I got to tell you, I laid down on the ground and looked up and just wondered at the majesty of God and the creativity of God. And let me tell you, God is creatively at work in your marriage. He's creatively at work. If God can do all that, okay, look what the Bible says, Psalm 47. Give me. He determines the number of the stars and calls each one of them by name. I love this psalm. This is my favorite. This is the one I heard the college professor, and it's never left me. When I consider your heavens, whose heavens? His heavens. The work of your fingers. Everybody say the work of your fingers. The moon and the stars, watch, which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. And this professor went on to say, watch this, that when God threw the stars into the universe, into the solar system, into the galaxy, when he threw them, and it says, watch this, it says, it was just by the, look, the casting of his hand. That's all he did. He just went, stars. And every one of them has a name. And I stood there in the middle of the night and looked up at just a little small piece of God's creation. And mankind has been on a journey ever since, trying to understand the earth and the skies. And I think back to the Incas and going back even to some of the people who were navigating through the stars and throughout history. And all's got, we're trying to understand it with all the science and technology. I was in New Mexico where they've got microphones going up into the sky that cost billions of dollars to see if there's any extraterrestrial in the universe, and they're listening, and after billions of dollars they've come to the conclusion there is no what they hear nothing other than the solar system and all that goes on. And I'm thinking to myself, here is NASA, and we're trying to figure out SpaceX, trying to go to Mars. We are in awe, and all the words was God going, stars. Man, I got to tell you, our God is creative. And when I hear, yeah, come on. When I hear young people say things like, and I love young people, they say things like, I'm bored. Go outside. Oh, there's nothing to do. Oh, I'm not getting anything out of church. I'm thinking, dear God, you need a revelation of the majesty and the wonder and the bigness of who our God is. You are bored because you're not being stimulated by the things you want to. I want to encourage you. Could I just say to you, you're boring. We watched a sunrise and we watched the sunset, And I want to show you this for a minute. Have a look at this here. This is on the water. We're watching the sunset. This is in Darwin, by the way, where there are literally saltwater crocs in this water and those little demonic sea lice that'll send you crazy. And we're watching this sun go down. And I was thinking of that verse I read earlier where God speaks and causes the sun to come up and it causes it to go down. The Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. I want to encourage you. Look at me, my friend. The Bible says, great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Can I tell you, that sunset says that's the closing of a day, but it also means the sun will rise again and there'll be an opening and a new day. And I want to tell you, God is faithful to you. And do not think he's left you. Do not think he's abandoned you. Can I just encourage you today to understand that God is with you and God is for you? Look at this verse. The steadfast love, Lamentations, of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Great is your faithfulness. You might feel like right now, God, where are you? You've abandoned me. I want to encourage you, that sun will set and the sun will rise. Have a look at this sunrise real quick before we go on to the next thing. This is at Ayers Rock. And this is the sun coming up in the morning and it's casting its light upon Ayers Rock. It changes colors throughout the day depending on where the sun is. And just depending on where you're standing and where you're looking, you'll see different aspects of what Ayers Rock looks like. Isn't it funny that, can I just encourage you, God is at work in your day. And God is at work in your life. And God is at work in your health. And God is at work in your marriage. Come on, somebody say amen. Here's the third thing. Not only do I realize that God is creative and our world is big, but one of the things I really felt like is that the value of friends and family. And I want to encourage you to place great value on family. Place great value on family. I thank God for the friends I have in my life. And the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Who's ever been wounded by a friend? Praise the Lord. Okay, if you've never been wounded by a friend, you need better friends. Now, I'm going to say it again. If you've never been wounded by a friend, you need better friends. I'm going to say it one more time because I don't think you're actually quite on. Listen to the Bible one more time. Look at it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes a real friend is going to tell you what you need to hear. And they will wound you with what they say to you, but they are being faithful. If you got friends who just blow smoke up your butt, just tell you you're the best thing in the world, you just find the way you are, can I tell you, you need better friends. Look at so many people in life who've made it in success in sport or in, you know, some field of excellence, but they've only got people telling them how great they are. And no one tells you, keep doing that, man, you'll end up in jail. You keep doing that, man, you're going to lose your wife. You keep doing that, you're going to go broke. We need friends in our lives. And I want to say to you, after this time away, being with great friends, I just thank God for the friends and the family that God has given me. We went and visited Paul and Marie. Have a look at this photo real quick. We had a wonderful time on an island with Paul and Marie. And I got to tell you, keep praying for Paul. He's doing well. He just had a little setback just after we left him. But keep praying for him. He's been, for 5 years ago, he was told he had stage 4 terminal cancer and was given 3 months to live. And the last examination, blood work, MRIs have come back all clear. No active cancer in his body whatsoever. You want to talk about faithful are the wounds of a friend. There's been times where I've had things happen to me that, in at least my own reckoning, shouldn't have happened. People who've done wrong by me, have betrayed me. And I remember I could have got so hurt. And it was Paul saying, Steve, are you going to keep licking your wounds or are you going to get over it? Stop talking about it. Get up and move forwards. What he was saying was, put on your big boy panties. Man up. That's a friend. That's a friend. Amen. Every now and then, hey, Steve, you need to be kinder to your wife. I'm going, look at the pot calling the kettle black. Praise the Lord. We went with Mike and Val on this gun train, and they've been with us for decades. You say, why are you showing all this? I'm trying to get you to think about the friends and family that God has put in your life and to place value on them. Can you say amen? Amen. To place value on the people that God, and can I just say this to you? Be intentional. Matter of fact, while we went to Adelaide in South Australia to get on this train, and one of the guys who's part of Wave Collective, that's a, if you like, a group of churches that are, see Sharalai as their pastors. They come to Wave Conference, and we love leading these pastors. And there's this young guy called Jeff Marshall. And he said to me, Steve, pray with me. I'm believing God to buy this old factory. And when he said old factory, you can imagine what I pictured. Old, and it was a tire warehouse factory. He goes, I want to buy it and turn it into a church. The only problem is this guy will only sell it to us if I buy the 4,000 tires that are inside the factory along with the building. He goes, it was $400,000 worth of tires that I had to buy. He goes, and I'm a pastor and I've been selling tires for the last 2 years trying to get all these tires out of here so I can turn it into a church. And I remember, how many tires have you sold today? And we would ring. I go, come on, man, I'm believing with you. In the meantime, he's renting a building, trying to move into this building. And I remember he finally, just a few months ago, sold the last tire, remodeled the whole building. And I'm in Adelaide. And I got to be honest with you, I was on vacation, I was on a break, but you know what? This has been a young man. It would mean the world to him if I just took 2 hours of my day. I rang him up and said, Jeff, I want to see your church. And he drove me what I thought, hope would just be a little drive away. Wasn't that little. And we went out to this place and I got a tour of his facility, and it meant the world to him. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, could I encourage you to be a good friend? It took a couple of hours of my day, but what it did to him. I got to show my pastor, my hero, what the Lord has done. And we walked through his church building and I said, Jeff, this is incredible. And he said, Steve, now I'm believing God to buy the warehouse next door and I'm going to make this building my kids' facility and we're going to have church. I said, come on, Jeff, let's pray about it right now. And just down the road is the Hell's Angels biker gang, their compound. I said, Jeff, let's go down there and have a look at the Hell's Angel. He goes, I don't think that's a good idea, Pastor. I said, you don't know me, Jeff. I want to see where that compound is. And we got down to where the compound was. I said, come on, let's pray that we'll see Hell's Angels in your church in Jesus' name. Come on. I guess I'm just trying to maybe ask, when was the last time you went out of your way to show interest in someone else? And let me, just the last photo real quick, is we got to visit with Sharon's mother and father. Sharon's father is 80, how old? 80, 86 years old. I think he could probably still beat our boys in tennis. He is one fit, healthy human being. There's Sharon's mother, and we got, the day we arrived, we went to see them. And as I was writing this message, the Holy Spirit said, encourage people who haven't reached out to their family. Reach out to them. Make the effort. I saw my brother, my sister. We were only there for a day. I was jet lagged. I really wanted to see them, but didn't want to see them at the same time. Do you understand what I mean by that? But all I know is, value family. Can you say amen? And maybe some of you right now, you're estranged from family. I understand that. I know what that's like. Can I just encourage you, keep praying for them. Believe, don't lose heart. Because God sets the solitude in family. And maybe right now you feel like you're in solitude. Can I just encourage you to thank God for the church family that we have here today? Come on, somebody give a Lord a hand. And I want to give you my last thought for this morning. You ready for this? You're going to laugh at this one. Ride a camel. You say, what on earth has that got to do with anything? While we were in Europe, I got a phone call from Mike and Val, who booked the Australian train ride through the outback. And they said, the camel tour, because Sharon has always wanted to ride a camel. I didn't know she always wanted to ride a camel, but she always wanted to ride a camel. So I told Mike and Val, book a camel ride in the outback. There are more camels in Australia than any country in the world. And so he did, but the travel agent forgot to press confirm. And so I got this message while we're in Dubai. Sorry, the camel ride's not going to happen. And Sharon was so disappointed. How many know your pastor? And how many know I don't take no for an answer? I went, if Sharon wants to ride a camel, we are going to ride a flipping camel. And we're in Dubai. And then I get a phone call from Hallie saying, your plane leaving that night has canceled. And so I went, all right, so we'll go the next day. Well, that gave us a whole night free. So I book a camel ride in Dubai, in the desert. I want to show you the camel ride. And the sun was setting. And I can't tell you what it meant to Sharon to have that camel ride. And here's what I want to say to you. Don't take no for an answer. God's a creative God. And His promises, look at me, are yes and amen. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your desires. Don't give up on your goals. Maybe you're believing God for your marriage to be healed. Ride a camel. Don't take no for an answer. There is a way to break through. There is a way to find God's promises. Just don't lose heart. Amen. And when this is the place where we were, where this guy told us about there is no freedom of speech in Dubai, he and I are now direct messing each other all the time. And because I'm aware of the challenges he faces, I'm very careful what I do and don't say, because I don't want to put the cool guy in jail. But let me tell you, he's reaching out for me to try and help him in certain areas of his life. He's been living in Dubai for 3 years away from his wife and children just so he can send money home to look after them. And they live in Pakistan. And I got to tell you, I thought I was just going to ride a camel with Sharon. Little did I know, God had a divine appointment to set up for me to meet this man. And now we're in communication. I want to say to you, God is big. Can anybody say amen? Don't take no for an answer. I love it when Jacob wrestled with an angel of the Lord. Some people believe it was the Lord himself that he was wrestling with. I don't know, to tell you the truth. I've heard both arguments and I don't know which one's right. But all I know is the Bible says that God, when he sent just one angel. Now, you know, when God names angels, he does it on purpose. Like there's Gabriel, there's Michael, you know, the archangel, and you know, the one that drove Satan out of heaven. And these are fierce angels. You don't want to mess with. But the Bible says that there was one time when the Assyrians were attacking the Israelites, and the Bible says God sent an angel. Doesn't give him a name. He's like a low life, low rank. Do you know what I mean? Just an angel. And this one, an angel, a private, not Michael the archangel, an angel, killed 180,000 men. One angel. Are you hearing me? Jacob wrestled with an angel of the Lord. And the angel said to Jacob, let go of me. Somehow, Jacob, and this is the thought I want to give you, wrestle with God. He's okay with it. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And that's where he got his name changed. you will now be called Israel, for you've wrestled with God. I want some of you to wrestle with God today. Come on. An angel killed 185,000 men, and Jacob wrestled with God, and the angel said, let me go. He says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the angel, the Bible said, touched him on the hip, put his socket out of joint. Look at me. And from that day forward, Jacob, who became Israel, limped. And I want to say this to you as I close. I'm done. Never trust someone who doesn't limp. When someone's been through some wars and they've wrestled, that's a person you can trust. And I want to encourage you to be somebody who learns how to walk with a limp because you've wrestled with God. Ride a camel. Don't give up on your dreams. Give the Lord a hand if you receive the word.